Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. And we're just thanking God that we're here another day. Thank God for His new mercies. Because of His mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So we just thank God we're here to do another session of Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Facebook listeners and followers, all our Blog Talk friends and followers, and our LinkedIn connections and friends and followers. We say greeting, say praise the Lord. Thank God that you are tuned in with us on Truth Ministry. So we'd just like you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So this is what the apostle wrote to the Ephesian church, or the church at Ephesus, the one of his prison epistles that he wrote to a Gentile church. So it's so good to be here on another session. So on last time, we talked about Philip and the eunuch, I believe in the 8th chapter of Acts. We've been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We've been talking about the early church. So we've been actually, this has been about 9 months of this, a particular subject when we started it earlier last year, about the February or March, around that period of time. And we were talking after the resurrection of Jesus, and then we ended up in the Gospel of Luke, who is also the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So we just continued on through. So we're here in the Acts of the Apostles, and so we went through all of the early church authority and power that was given to St. Peter, the Apostle Peter, to open up the doors of the church, and he opened it up to the Gentiles on a session before last. And then on the last session, we kind of gave the synopsis of Peter's rehearsal to the Jews, because they said that he went in to those that were unclean. So anyway, God extended the door, he opened the church doors up to the Gentiles, just like he said in the book of Isaiah, that he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So he just, God is a God of time. He's a time God. And he initially came during his earthly ministry, he said, "I came not for, but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he does everything on time because John the Baptist was the forerunner who came on the scene to prepare the way of the Lord before Jesus came on the scene. So they, you got to bear in mind, now, during his earthly ministry, they were still under the law. That's why he could say, "It hath been said," but then three words change everything, "but I say." So nothing like getting an understanding when you're going through the Bible, or when you're looking in the Holy Writ, you're looking in the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, James calls it. So should you desire to call in, you have a question or a comment, you are welcome to do so. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So you are welcome to call in should you desire to do so. So on last time we talked about Peter ended up going to jail and how they were praying for him for his release, and God blessed him, sent an angel in there, be it the angel of the Lord, be it God himself or a messenger, it matters not, it was God who delivered Peter out of the jail. And they were sore amazed, they were shocked, they were praying continually for the Apostle Peter after he had been put in prison, and God blessed him, sent his angel to get Peter out of the prison. And he went to the door of one of the saints' house where they were praying for him and knocked on the door, and they didn't want to believe it. God had delivered Peter out of there. And so that's where we ended up talking. We were talking about, we went on after that about the death of Herod. He didn't give God the glory. They was praising him like he was a god. So we were talking about the gospel being the Jews rejecting the gospel, and how they, Paul and Barnabas, his name was changed from Paul to Saul, and that they were, their mission was to just totally focus on the Gentiles. That's one thing God said he was going to do when he saved Paul. I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. We know he dealt with the Jews also too, because he knew the law. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, so he was definitely a learned man when it came to the law of Moses and all. So kind of like go back a little bit to update a little bit before we move on today, because we're going to talk about the council at Jerusalem in the early church when they had disputings about circumcision. So they came together to discuss the matter. Then incidentally, Jerusalem was their headquarters. This is why Jesus said, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, "The promise is unto you, to you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." But he told them about preaching the gospel, you know, going on that these are written, the things that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. This is on the road to Emmaus, the 24th chapter of Luke. So he goes on to let them know, thus it behooved Christ Christ to suffer and to rise it from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, that's my, but the point that I'm driving home, and especially on today, Jerusalem is the headquarters. Incidentally, Jerusalem is God's holy mountain. If you've been following me, I've made this point quite a while ago, and at times I'll bring it up. God's holy mountain is not Rome. Rome is not the motherland or the holy mountain of God. But God's holy mountain always was and always will be Jerusalem. And in the Revelation, John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." In other words, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, city suspended in mid air. That's what John saw in the book of the Revelation. So here he lets them know, you know, you're going to, thus it be is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, blessed them. Came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So that's the point. Jerusalem is God's holy mountain, always was, always will be. But here they were preaching at, down in Antioch, and as they were going here, so he's preaching the gospel, declaring to you good tidings out the promise which was made unto the fathers. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." You got to realize God is a spirit. The divine essence of God is spirit. He's everywhere and every place. So he made himself known. So this is why they wrote of him. Like he told them, if you had known Moses, you would have known me because he wrote of me. So the prophecies and Pentateuch and the prophets, the Psalms. So they preached Jesus out of the prophets. They preached it out of the law, out of the prophets, and out of the Psalms. And like I've said, there are four gospel writers we read about, but there's only one gospel. Everyone gave, it's a synoptic gospel. Everyone gave their view of what they saw. They were indeed eyewitnesses. What's going on here is concerning that he raised up him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, "And I will give you the sure mercies of David." And we made mention about that. You can read about the sure mercies of David is what he's making mention about in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. "Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." I believe that's the 16th psalm. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. He's talking about the grave, seeing corruption. "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." He's talking about the man, Christ Jesus. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." So now we can fast forward back in the book of Romans. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has made us free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do," goes on, the point I want to get to, "that it was weak through the flesh. God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's in the 8th chapter of Romans. So he goes on here, by him all that believe are justified from all things that which cannot from which cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So this, I believe that is, that's in the book of Habakkuk. Then also God had let him know how he was so very displeased with Israel, but he's not going to cast them away. And that's what he was going on to say in the book of Romans. God's not going to cast away that his people which he foreknew. So bad as they were still his people, and he's going to restore again his people. Talking about Israel, talking about the Jews, the one that had the oracles of God, who he chose. So he goes on here, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentile besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So this is what they told the Gentiles. You continue. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And see, incidentally, the Sabbath was for the Jews, and it's not for the Gentiles. So now, if you can understand, in the New Testament church, the first day of the week is when they came together. And you can read about that in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So that's why you want to, with our calendar, the first day of the week is not Monday. The first day of the week is Sunday. So that is the day that the New Testament church started worship. Now, you can worship on any day, but there's no such thing as remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Not today. God is going to, the Sabbath was made for the Jews. It wasn't made for us. So you got to understand one thing, point that I'm trying to drive home with these series, and that is the early church. This is what this is. So my theme is the Godhead, but the point being, this is the early church. So this is why I'm trying to make it plain about, you have to be careful. Like Peter said, giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure that there are, and I say it, and it doesn't matter because it's the truth. There are no apostles today, none. Their job was, they were the Lord chose them himself, and he called them apostles. They were eyewitnesses. They were taught personally by him. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They were sent forth. They were eyewitnesses. And they also, all of them, except for the Apostle John, they died horrible deaths. There are no apostles today. 12 names in the 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, in the cities of the foundations, 12 foundations, the names of the 12 apostles. Apostle Paul said, last of all, he was seen of me, and he said it. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify mine office in the book of Romans when he wrote. So we go on here. So they and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So see, he even talked about where the wild olive tree and being grafted in, and don't be high-minded and all, when he wrote to the church at Rome. So he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So by them rejecting it like they did, he grafted us in. But the point being, we were in the plan in the first place, because the foreknowledge of God knew what they were going to do, but he's not. That's why he had to write these letters, and the letters are written to people who are already saved. The letters are the children's bread. He even said that back then when he came to none but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It says, not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. That's why the woman, the Syrophoenician woman said, truth, but the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. He was saying, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, such great faith. So she knew who he was, and even the other man, other ones, you the son of David, have mercy on me. They knew who he was, so they had to know something about the scriptures. So sometimes people don't want to see other people do right, do the right thing, get right, but they don't want it themselves. So that's going to be the sad part about the lake of fire, which burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. Too many people are worried about what others think of them. You got to make your own mind up. You're going to serve God for yourself. You can't stand before God and say, if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for them, no. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's a bunch of hypocrites, this, that, and the other. Well, then I said, do you know what I say? If you think everybody's a hypocrite, then you come on and get right and show us how to do. That's what you think. So every excuse is nailed to the cross. There are no excuse. So when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And so Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. He's talking about the Jews here. Seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So that's horrible. You judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. This is what he told them. So lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. This is in the book of Isaiah. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So this is where we left off, I believe, on last time. So we're going on here, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. In other words, they were refreshed because they realized they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Even back in the earlier subsequent chapters, in the third and the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, they counted it a blessing. They were able to suffer shame for his name. That was the joy. See, so that's the thing that people have to realize. It doesn't matter what somebody says about Jesus. You're not going to stop him from doing what he said he's going to do. He's coming back again, just like he said that he would. So you could mock prophets back in the Old Testament. It matters not what you say about people. They're crucifying Jesus. The more you crucify him, the more he's going to be glorified because nobody can stop him. He is the King of glory. He is the first begotten of the dead, of the kings, of the prince of the earth. He's the one that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He got up. We're going to get up from the grave. So talking about them that slept, talking about those that were dead. He is the first fruits. So he's the only grave, no other grave in the world that you can go to where the angel has already said, he is not, I know whom you seek, Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He's risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So there's nobody else and never will be in the history of the world, because that's not necessary no more. They came looking for Jesus that they might anoint his body. And the angel knew that they came for him. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. So all of these other people, whatever they're claiming themselves to be, they can't get up from the dead because they have no power. They're not the Messiah, just like the Lord Jesus Christ is. So it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both Jews and Greeks, both of the Jews and also of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil against the brethren. So it's horrible. That's the thing, what happened during the Bible days, and Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't want to go in, but they want to hinder others from coming in too, because that's, they talked about the temple, which was the building. They wanted to be seen of men when they were fasting, things that they were doing, showing themselves righteous. So that's why he said, your righteousness don't exceed that of the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter in. So in other words, their righteousness that they had was self-righteous. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we're not trying to do something. I made a mention before of a guy that I know. Every time you see him, I see him every once in a while, he try to put on a look or whatever. I mean, it's not about that, how you look and all of that, but it's about the only way you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. Only way you can live holy, you have to be born again. So that is the water baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. The Holy Ghost has been poured out, and this is the prophecy of Joel 2:28, shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon the servants and the handmaids I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Which means, so so it's not a look that you have on your face, or, you know, pious look, or however they try to, you can't, ain't no such thing as look holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And First Peter, he says, as it is written, be ye holy. He said, be holy in all manner of conversation. What he's talking about is your life style. So there's just certain things you'll do and you won't do if you have the Holy Ghost in you. So that's who it is. It's not you, but it's the Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost who is on the inside. You have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say. So go on here. Long time there. Let's see. Where was I at? Oh, yeah. They stirred up the unbelieving Jews, stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part with held with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and about unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. So remember, Jesus made the statement, don't cast your pearls before the swine. So in other words, don't let that good word fall to the ground. You can't force it on no one. They don't want it. You got to move on. And that's how it's going to be. He even said when he wrote to the Corinthians in the second letter, he was saying, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So nobody in their right mind want to be lost in hellfire forever and ever. You got to be out of your mind. You want to go there. People say, hell yes. And I used to do the prison ministry, and I used to tell them, you should say no to hell, because nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. So they were aware of it, and they fled. So anyway, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent on his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So God sets up situations just to prove his power and to prove who he is. So this man that I just read about now, he was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, this is Apostle Paul, said, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So isn't that something? He didn't crawl. He didn't have to have a walker like little kids that crawl around. Remember one of my sons, my second oldest son, when he started crawling, and then so he didn't want to get his crawl on his knees, so he used to kind of walk, scoot himself. But everyone does different. This man, he leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in a speech of Lyconia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, bought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, saying, sirs, do not ye these things, for we are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. They're talking about God. So in other words, these people want to make sacrifices and do different things. He goes on here, in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he never left himself without witness, talking about God, that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, and they heard that they heard not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So that sounds just like the devil. You know, this man preaching the truth, getting people saved. He realized what God had done for him. So, but God allowed these things to happen. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many and returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So the devil is not going to let it go easy. So it's not going to be smooth sailing, but he didn't promise smooth sailing, but it is going to be happy landing in a sailor's terminology. So when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through out Poseidon, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word of Phrygia, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. But they were had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they were there in Antioch. So today, this is what we wanted to talk about, the council at Jerusalem. So certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So no small dissension, that's biblical terminology. So in other words, it was a big deal. They had to go deal with this. It was time dissension. So they go on here, being bought on their way by the church. They pass through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But certain rose up, certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that there was no need, that it was needful, to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider the matter. And then when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Talking about the Gentiles. So this is for everyone. It says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that means that matters not about your ethnicity, your nationality, your color. It don't matter if you're purple. God looks at the heart. He's looking on the heart. We're living in these temples. These bodies that we're in are going back to the dust. We are a soul, or if it doesn't matter, like I said on last time, if we have a soul, if we are a soul, the soul that sinned this shall die. So man is a spirit, lives in a body, we have a soul. That's the emotional part of us. So he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and to Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agreed the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and we'll build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and we'll build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. The residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And goes on here, known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. So the point is, remember the covenant that he made with Abraham, and he had to be circumcised and his son. So the covenant of circumcision. So now you don't have to be circumcised. When you believe, the word of God is quick. That means it's living, it's alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Talking about the word of God as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. So it pierces the sun, the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, talking about his word. So his word is a sharp sword. It's a two-edged sword. So when you believe, the word of God circumcises your heart. That's the circumcision today. Not that of the heart. I mean, not that of the way that it used to be back in the olden days, the foreskin So I'll get that scripture, circumcision, because nobody can brag, I'm a Jew, I'm a Gentile, like things that people used to do. So he's writing to the church, talking about people boasting or whatever in the book of Romans, that thou makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God? It's a question. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Another question. Shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So this is where he wrote. This is in Romans, the second chapter. So he says he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. I'm sorry, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So he goes on here. This is a continuation in the third chapter of Romans. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? So he goes on here, much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. So he goes on here. I just want to elaborate on this a little bit. So he goes on here, what if some did not believe? A question. Should their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but let every man be a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, mightest overcome when thou art judged. But so going on here in the book of Romans, this is one particular scripture that people misquote so many times, and that is they utter the words, they say, gifts and callings come without repentance. But the point being, that is not even what the scripture says. So here in the 11th chapter, this is where Paul is authenticated, his apostleship also here in the book of Romans. He say then, he's talking about, actually this is all, it's when you start at the first verse, I just don't really have time to go through this whole thing, but he says, I say then, have God cast away his people? He asks the question, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What not what the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession of God for Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? Talking about to Elijah. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So see, remember in the book of the Revelation, there's 12 tribes, 144,000, and some group picked it up, John Wesley, whatever his name is, whenever he started this, so-called, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They say the 144,000 is the only ones going to be saved. I think it's, I don't know how many million of them. So if that's the case, if that were true, it shows you how ignorant that is. Because if that was true, only 144,000 are going to be saved, then the rest of them are crazy. That makes no sense. So he goes on, that's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. He names each and every one of them out as when you read it in the book of the Revelation. But he goes on here, what then? Israel had not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election have attained it, and the rest were blinded, of course, as it is written. So see, they don't see, and so that's another story too, going to Corinthians, which goes back into the law. of Moses when in the book of Exodus, when he went up to the mount, and the second time, because the first time he came down, he had two tablets of stone were written with the finger of God, and Aaron and the children of Israel had conned Aaron into saying, "Make us a god. We don't know what's become of Moses," because he was up in the mount with God. And so they took off their earrings, they melted them, and made a calf. So God, when he came down, Moses was angry. He cast them down and break them. He had to go back up there again. But the second time when he went up in the mount, when he came down, the glory of God was on him. They couldn't look on him. Moses didn't even know. His face shone. He had to put a veil on when he talked to the people, the children of Israel, that is. When he went back and talked to him, that is God, he took the veil off. So the glory of God was, he was shining. He was bright. They couldn't even look on him. So anyway, going on here, talking about Israel. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election were blinded. So in other words, they were blinded because they didn't receive him. And so when it shall turn to the Lord, then shall the veil be taken away. The veil is already taken away in Christ. They didn't want to believe, them as a nation didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So their heart is what he's talking about. They turn their heart to the Lord. It's going to be taken away. So according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear until this day. David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fail? It's a question. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. For if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are also the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them, partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, that thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. But if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. They also, if they abide not, still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, but God is able to graft them in again. If thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So in other words, their heart is blind. They can't see, okay? You don't, like Jesus told the Pharisees one time, I came that they were blind could see. They that see will be blind, so they could see. He's talking about your understanding. They say, we see, okay, he said, well, remain in your sin. So in other words, they're blind, spiritually blind. That's why he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't wonder what I say. Marvel not. Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou can't hear the sound. You can hear the sound thereof. You cannot tell which way it cometh or which way it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing tongues like as of fire, or divided tongues, set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So he goes on here, so all Israel shall be saved, and as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. It's concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but it's touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Remember now, the subject is Israel. He chose them, the Jews. He gave them the oracles of God, and he's not going to change his mind. This next verse, this is what this is saying. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So remember, Israel, the Jews, they were the subject. That's what he's talking about. He called them. He gave them the oracles of God. He's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. When times past have not believed, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelieving. Even so, these also not believe, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Question. Who hath been his counselor? Another question. Who hath first given to him, and shall be recompensed unto him again? Another question. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So be it. That's what amen means. So they were letting them know. So that answers the question. There's a long run to do it with New Testament scripture, but the point being is that no, you don't have to be circumcised after the law of Moses, but the circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit, is not of praise be of men, of God, and not of men. So in other words, this is how God does. His word pricks the heart. And that's what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. When they heard this, when Peter was preaching, let them know. And so he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, Acts 2 and 36 and 37, they were asking the question, what shall we do? That's when Peter said unto them, repent, turn, have a change of heart, change of mind. You ain't got to be crying. People be all tore up, boo-hoo. And no, you can make a decision without shedding a tear. Not saying something wrong with it, but repenting is a decision in the heart. Just make your mind up. I'm gonna get right. Like the song says, get right with God and do it now. He will show you how. So you make up your mind. It's a decision is what repentance is. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You let them know the promises unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is what he is saying. So wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which for among the Gentiles are turned to God, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and fornications, from things strangled by blood. So in other words, don't be drinking blood. Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. But because people did all kinds of things. They drank blood and sacrificed, and people still doing that kind of stuff nowadays, is the point being. Then please it the apostles and the elders and with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. They wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders being, and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that they, certain of them, went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised, keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Talking about keeping the law. Because right now, in the eighth chapter of Romans, the scripture I quoted, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. They go on here in this letter, seem good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved brethren, Paul and Barnabas. Men and brethren that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by my mouth. Seem good to the Holy Ghost and by us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, for which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. That's that letter. So when they were dispersed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together and delivered the epistle, which is the letter, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and when they and went not with them to the work, and contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and called and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. So this is what a real apostle do. These things that he done that we were just wrote about, he knew the law, backwards and forward, they say, set at the feet of Gamaliel. And so they got an understanding of there is no circumcision in the New Testament church. They got a perfect understanding of the word of God. And so we're going to talk to you more on next time. So we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.